We're doing Ein Yaakov, Tractate Shabbos. We're on page Nundalit Amid Beis, and we're picking up. We had learned about the responsibility of giving rebuke, and it said that a person has to pay attention where people will listen to him. He is responsible to ensure that their behavior is proper. So if Rabbi Eliezer had a neighbor, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah had a neighbor whose cow used to go out with a ribbon tied between its horns, and he could have stopped her, he could have mentioned her, you know, that's not permissible, so then he's held accountable for not having done that. And then it says, if the people of your city will listen to you, you're responsible to talk to the people of your city. If the whole world will listen to you, you're responsible to talk to the world. And the Gemara went on, where we're holding, Rav Papa says that the people of the leadership, the house of the Reish Galusa, they were the leaders, like the princes, after the destruction of the temple. So, nitpasim al kuli alma, they are responsible for the world. All of world Jewry listens to them. So they're responsible. Ki had amar Rav Chanina, ma yidchtiv Hashem b'mishpat yivoyim ziknam av saravim, sarim chatu zkenim machatu, elayim al zkenim shelo michu b'sarim. That's what Rav Chanina taught. The verse says in Isaiah that Hashem is going to take the elders and the politicians to task over the sins of the nation. So if the politicians are sinful, what's it the elders' fault? So the answer is that the elders were the ones who should have rebuked the politicians. That's their job. And this is something which I'm still in the process of learning in the position of the rabbinate. Before I entered this position, so I was a very liberal, live and let live. What's my problem if someone else is doing something wrong? He's not my responsibility, and there's no reason to think he's going to listen to me if I say anything. So I mind my own business. Yeah, but when you become a rabbi of a shul, suddenly the shul is your business. Yeah. And you have to speak up, and suddenly you can't just sit in your corner and do your own thing, and suddenly you have the responsibility to ensure things go right. And ordinarily, we say, mind your own business. The Gemara here tells us, sometimes you're in a position where you're not allowed to mind your own business. You're the one who's supposed to speak up. And most of the time, we don't have the capacity of affecting people. Most of the time, we'd be better off being quiet. It was once Sukkot, and on Sukkot, we have a custom that we go around with Hoshanos, right? We go around the Bima. So there's a custom that people who are in mourning don't go around the year after their parent died. So that year, they don't go around. The custom is that they're the ones that hold the Sefer Torah in the center of the shul, but they don't go around. So I think it was my first year in Kochav Yaakov, and someone had lost their mother, and they were going around. And the Gabbai came over to me and said to me, should we tell him that he's not supposed to go around? So I said, mind your own business, leave me. And then I started thinking, am I allowed to mind my own business? And I decided what he's doing is his own mitzvah, it's not mine. And it's not my business to come and tell him anything. If he'd ask me what the custom is, I'd tell him. Yeah. He didn't ask me, even though this is a public place, this is a shul. Mind your own business, it's his mitzvah. Only later did I find that there are those that have the custom that they do go around. That really he was okay. There does exist such a custom. I was unaware of that at the time. Then a few weeks ago we were in shul, and a rabbi was there nice and early. No one else was there on time. So I asked him to go and be chazan. He's a Sephardi rabbi. We're an Ashkenazi shul. The institution of the shul was with the understanding that you always pray with Ashkenazi nusach. And he got up there and he didn't know that. He did everything Sephardi. Now, for years, people have been respecting the custom of the shul that they do everything Ashkenazi. The majority of the people on a weekday who pray in our shul are Sephardi. So by the end of davening, all the Sephardim that for years they've been respecting our custom and saying Kaddish the Ashkenazi way and doing everything Ashkenazi, now they're all out loud doing their Sephardi Kaddish. And I said to myself, we're finished because they're the majority in this shul. So after davening, I give a minute halacha. And I said to myself, I don't have a right to be quiet here. So I got up and I said, okay, gentlemen, I want you all to learn from the rabbi who davened in our shul, who led the prayers. And no one should be bashful. Just because you're Sephardi doesn't mean you shouldn't lead prayer services here. You should lead prayer services here. We love you and we want you leading prayer services. But at the institution of this shul, the chief rabbi of the yeshuv, this goes back 20 years ago, said that he wants a shul where children can grow up learning their tradition. He instituted the shul with the understanding that we would maintain Ashkenazi tradition so that Ashkenazi children growing up in the yeshuv would know what an Ashkenazi shul looks like. If not for that, there wouldn't be this shul. We would all be davening in the central Sephardi shul. So the whole idea of this shul is to maintain the Ashkenazi tradition. And we have to remember that when you come in and you lead the prayer services, you have to learn the Ashkenazi custom and do it that way, because that's the constitution of the shul that was instituted. When Rav Kook set up his yeshiva, so Rav Kook said the yeshiva is for all of Klal Yisrael, and whoever is chazan, he does it according to his custom, and that's fine. Rav Shlomo Zalman in his yeshiva said, you always look and see who the majority is. If the majority of the congregants are Ashkenazi, daven Ashkenazi. If the majority are Sephardi, daven Sephardi. But in this shul, it was instituted with an understanding. There's a Sephardi shul next door and an Ashkenazi shul right here. The whole purpose of this shul is to maintain a certain tradition. So we have to do that. I would have never done that in my life. What do I have to get up there and talk for? But if I'm not going to talk, no one's going to talk, right? So sometimes you have to. It's not comfortable. And most of the time, you're better off not saying anything. But sometimes, it's your responsibility, so you got to do it. I had a principal in high school that we were friendly, but we constantly had friction. It was a love-hate relationship. From him, it was love-love, but for me, it was love-hate. So he gained my respect for life when we were in 11th or 12th grade and the yeshiva had a dinner. And this was the time when the Rebbe of Chabad was still not well, and it was just before his passing, and people were saying he's the Mashiach. And the yeshiva honored someone, and the person in his speech made a mocking remark about the Rebbe of Chabad being the Mashiach and about the Rebbe of Chabad. And even though he was the guest of honor of the yeshiva, the principal got up and said, I'm sorry for interrupting you, but you have to apologize for what you just said, because you have no right speaking that way about the Rebbe of Chabad. And he stood there waiting for the man to apologize. Now, that's protecting the honor of Torah. No one else could do it, but he had the...
That's embarrassing someone just by killing him.
No, because the person had embarrassed himself. The person had said something improper about the Rebbe of Chabad, and he got up there and he knew he was risking the donations of this guy. He was risking all his buddies who were there at the dinner. And he said, my responsibility is to stand up and say, I'm sorry, that's wrong. We hear the stories about how Rav Kook was warm and accepting. But you should also know there's a story that a person came before Rav Kook and spoke improperly about another rabbi, and Rav Kook smacked him across the face. That's a story they don't tell you about Rav Kook. So Rav Kook felt that's his responsibility. He has to stand up and say, I'm sorry, this is chutzpah, this is wrong. So with all his love, when a person has that much love, then he can do that. We once had a student here who learned by me for over a decade. And he once said something, and I said to him, you should know, if I loved you enough, I would smack you now. But I don't love you enough. I can't. I'm not on that level. That's what you deserve. I'm not on the level. If I would have shown you enough love, then I that's what you deserve. But you should think about what you just said, because Rav Kook had enough love that when he gave a smack, the person understood it all came from love and he didn't hold it against him. Okay? Wow. Back to our Gemara. So the Gemara is telling us sometimes in life, you have a responsibility to speak up, and if you don't, you're held accountable. And like I said, most of my life, I was able to stay away from that. Most of the time, the right thing is not to step up to the plate. But sometimes you have no choice. Rabbi Yehuda Aviativ Kamei de Shmuel. There was a rabbi named Rabbi Yehuda, the son of Rabbi Yecheskel. You will encounter in Shas this Rami Bar Yecheskel. And wherever you encounter Rabbi Yehuda plainly in Shas, that's Rabbi Yehuda, the son of Rabbi Yecheskel. And he was a top disciple of Shmuel. So he was studying under Shmuel. Shmuel, if you recall, was a doctor and a top astronomer. He was a disciple of Rebbe. He never was able to get smicha. Every time Rebbe wanted to give him smicha, something came up and it didn't work. And Shmuel said that he had a tradition that he would never get smicha. So Shmuel was a top doctor. He could taste waters and tell you what the components of those waters were and what they could cure. Shmuel was a top doctor and a top astronomer and the top rabbi and the top judge. In monetary matters, we rule like Shmuel. Wherever we have an argument between Rav and Shmuel, they are both disciples of Rebbe. So in prohibitive matters, in areas that concern prohibitions of Torah or the rabbis, there we rule like Rav. In areas that concern monetary matters, the halacha is like Shmuel. So Rav Yehuda, the son of Yecheskel, Rav Yehuda was sitting before his Rebbe Shmuel. Atayahi itita, a woman came before them, before their court. Katzavchat kamei, she was yelling before him, v'lava mashkachba, and he ignored her. Amalelo savale mar, so Shmuel says, Rebbe, how could you ignore the woman? She's asking you to get involved. Don't you know that, don't you take into account the verse that says, Otem ozno miza'akat dal, otem, he who seals, ozno, his ear, miza'akat, from the yell of dal, what is dal?
Ani.
The poor, gamhu yikra, gamhu, he too, yikra, will call to his creator, velo ye'anen, he won't be answered. So the verse in Proverbs says, Otem ozno miza'akat dal, he who closes his ear from hearing the cry of the poor, when he yells to heaven, he too won't be listened to. So Rav Yehuda says, how come you're not listening to the lady? She's coming and crying before your court and you're ignoring her. Amale shinina. So Shmuel said to Rav Yehuda, sharp one. Shinina means sharp one. It's a compliment. It means he's about to give him over the head. You give him a compliment because he's about to tell him you made a mistake. Reishach bekarire. Reisha de Reishach Bachamime. He says, your Rebbe is in cold water. He has nothing to worry about. He said about himself. But your Rebbe's Rebbe is in hot waters. What he was saying is, I have a boss. And my boss is the one who's supposed to give ruling in this case. Not me. And the courts are convened here under him. And if she's crying, then he has to deal with her case, not me. So this isn't my jurisdiction. So I'm not, you're right, but he has to decide. Hayativ mar ukva avbetin. Don't you see? The head of the court is sitting right here. Dichtiv bet David ko amar Hashem dinu rebok ha-mishpat v'atzilu, etc. So the head of the court is here. I can't rule in front of him. So he's the one who's responsible to enter her case. And right now, either he knows that she's in the wrong, or for whatever reason, he's not getting involved. It's his responsibility, not mine. So that's also an important thing to know. People sometimes come and say, my friend is doing something wrong in the machon. Should I tell him it's wrong? And I always say, go to his Rebbe. Talk to his teacher. Let him figure out if it's right to tell him. Maybe it's not right to say anything. Maybe where this person's holding in the tshuva process, leave him be. My friend answers his cell phone on Shabbos. Okay? But maybe he stopped eating pork this week and he broke up with his non-Jewish girlfriend, and at least he's coming to shul on Shabbos. He's not yet ready to stop answering his cell phone on Shabbos. Maybe that's right for him. Who said you should tell him something? Maybe he knows full well he shouldn't be answering a cell phone on Shabbos, but he can't yet do it. Give him time. Growth takes time. Okay, so that's why I always say, and that's what Shmuel answers Rav Yehuda. He says, there's the head of the court. My boss is sitting here. And even though I could deal with her court case, it's not my responsibility. It's not my jurisdiction. This is an important rule in life, knowing our jurisdiction. In work, sometimes in workplaces, people have good intentions, but they cross the lines of their jurisdiction. And then they step on other people's toes. And they have the best idea, but they end up making someone else look bad. Or they end up hurting someone else's ideas. It's true. Here in the machon, sometimes people tell me, I have this and this friend, make sure he gets into the machon. And I say, I'm willing to give you a recommendation, but the only one who sees the global picture is Rav Listman, and above him, Rav Bigon, and they have to decide if it's a proper time, if it's right for this person, if it makes sense. Sometimes the Mahon decides that a certain student shouldn't continue in the Mahon. And people say, why don't you go fight him? And I say, do I have the full picture? It's not my jurisdiction. I can present my case. I can come in and say, look, I want you to know what I know. Once you know what I know, now it's your call. You have to see the full picture. You see things I don't see. And this is true. We discussed the story in the army where this can happen, where people will sometimes think they have to make a move when their general told them not to, and they don't have the full picture. And this is true in work. And here you see Shmuel said the same thing to Rav Yehuda. He said, I have a boss, and he's in charge of this court. And he's decided that we don't deal with this case. There's a famous story they said over in Rav Kapach's Hesped. There was a, see this red set of Rambam? That's Rav Yosef Kapach. He was a rabbi who lived a 2-minute drive from here, 15-minute walk from here in Shaarei Chesed. His wife just passed away 2 or 3 years ago. They did a lot of Chesed. They would feed thousands of families each year. And he was a big Yemenite rabbi. He put out many, many books, including this commentary on all of the Rambam. And he was on the High Court of Jerusalem together with Rav Mordechai Eliyahu. And after he passed away, so every year they have, on the day of his passing, which is coming up now, it's in the Tammuz or Av, so they do a kenes. They have an assembly in his honor, in his memory. And until Rav Mordechai Eliyahu passed away, many years Rav Mordechai Eliyahu would speak there. So Rav Mordechai Eliyahu told the following story. They were once sitting in court, and a couple came before them. He was on the court, and Rav Kapach was on the court. And a couple came, and they were arguing about getting divorced, and the husband gets up, and he starts berating his wife. He starts telling the court, she does this, and she does that, and she's good for nothing about this, and she's good for nothing about that. And Rav Mordechai Eliyahu wanted to get up and tell him, hey, this isn't nice the way you're talking about your wife. And Rav Kapach said, shh, let him talk. He has to present his case. At one point, he reached a point where Rav Kapach got up and told him, quiet, enough. So Rav Mordechai Eliyahu said, you saw his clear vision as a judge. So long as the information, as personal as it sounded, was relevant to our ruling about how to rule in the divorce, he said, hey, it's not comfortable to hear a husband talk that way about his wife, but he told Rav Eliyahu, be quiet. We have to hear him out, whether we like it or not. The second it reached a point where they had enough information and he was crossing over the line and he was just berating his wife publicly, then Rav Kapach got up and gave him over the head and said, now you be quiet. So that's, here you see, we have responsibilities. There's a point where it is our responsibility, there's a point where it isn't. There's a point where we say, ad kan. Amar Rabbi Zer Rabbi Simon, lo chochinu mar lehane de beresh galuta. Rabbi Zer said to Rabbi Simon, why don't you go to the house of the Resh Galusa? We said they were the princes, and tell them they're doing things improperly. Amale lo mkable minai. He said they're not going to listen to me. They're in the prince's house. They're in the castle. I'm going to come and tell them that there are things they do against halacha. They'll say, who are you? They won't listen to me. Amale afagav de lo mkable lo chinumar. He said, even though they don't listen, why don't you go rebuke them? Damar vachab Rabbi Chanina. Rav Achab Rabbi Chanina said the following. Whenever Hashem wants to do something good, it always comes true, except for once. Whenever Hashem says, I'm going to do something good, so it comes true. In heaven, they want to give good, and they don't take it back. And this concept has many ramifications. I'll give you one quick story, and with that, we'll end for today. There was a panel of rabbis that were visiting Israel, and they met with Rav Avram Shapiro, chief rabbi of Israel at the time, and he gave them a lecture. One of the things he mentioned was how great it is to live in Israel, and how even breathing the air in Israel makes you smarter, and he gave them this whole beautiful speech about the beauty of Israel. And the panel came to visit Rav Shapiro as they were leaving Israel. So they said, Rabbi, you told us all these beautiful things. He said, we even got smarter by breathing the air here. What's going to happen when we land in Chutz Laaretz? So Rav Shapiro said to them, it says that whenever Hashem gives something good, he doesn't take it back. So if you got it, if you became smarter, you'll hold on to it. Even when you go back there, I bless you, it should stay with you. But our Gemara says, there's one area where even though Hashem says it's going to be good, Hashem takes it back. And that's where we'll pick up, Bezat Hashem, next week.